first of all, for my meeting with Laura, my tango with Tingle. As I said, we're talking to Tanta later about the strategic implications of the sub-deal. But, of course, we've seen huge political fallout from the decision announced on Friday to acquire the odd nuclear sub from the Americans and elsewhere.
We have. It's going sort of spectacularly badly, you'd have to say, at this stage, Philip.
I understand the French ambassador's been recalled in my absence.
He has, as has the American ambassador, just for good measure. The French ambassador's gone back, and we had reports tonight that the French Minister for European Affairs has said that the EU-Australia free trade agreement talks are off. He's been supported in that by the German guy who heads up the trade body in the EU. So that's all not looking very good either. And essentially we've got, as they say, headlines around the world for all the wrong reasons.
Is Labor putting its periscope up, or is it feeling itself to be wedged?
I don't think it's feeling wedged. I mean, it's interesting how this story has developed, I suppose, Philip. I mean, it was all sort of looked like it was all being about the nuclear aspect of this announcement on Thursday, and that that the government, the sort of presumption was that the government was trying to wedge Labor on the nuclear side of things. But of course, Labor also doesn't want to be looking like it's soft on national security and defence issues. So they initially were coming out trying to do the, well, how much is it going to cost argument, but and putting some provisos on the nuclear side of things, like saying, you know, well, this is probably okay as long as it doesn't involve nuclear weapons and a nuclear industry onshore and things like that. But it's really this sort of big picture strategic level debate that's been raging over the weekend, because, you know, a few things have happened. I mean, I know you're going to talk about this with somebody who's very expert on these things shortly, but I mean, first of all, the government has been doing all these briefings and telling people that they've had this in train for 18 months, but then the Prime Minister tells us yesterday he didn't actually ring up the French president until sort of a few hours before they announced the deal, which of course involves dumping this massive contract with the French. Now, there are all sorts of reasons why that deal wasn't looking good. The costs were blowing out. There were all sorts of problems. But, of course, one of the ironic reasons why it was all very difficult was because we'd actually asked the French to build us conventionally powered submarines based on what were their perfectly good nuclear-powered submarines, and trying to convert them was always going to be difficult. So it's a bizarre one, which, you know, I think is really incredibly significant for us for two reasons. One of them is, obviously, it puts us firmly back into bed with, you know, the old-school alliances of the US and the UK. As somebody said to me on Thursday, it's sort of the old white boys coming in to try to run Asia again rather than forming regional alliances. And I think the second thing is, which is the most significant thing to me, which is that we're not just doing it as sort of part of the Americans. It's really putting us in the front line. If we are going to actually be doing this sort of much more assertive stance with American troops and American missiles on shore and American submarines in the 20 years until we actually would be getting our own, it completely changes the extent to which we're putting our head above the parapet in all of this.
Laura, I, as you know, have left the odd political party over a long life. I left the Commos decades ago. I left, heavens above, I left the ALP. Almost 10
but
years.
Don't you just keep rejoining so you can leave again, though, Philip?
I do that a bit, but now I feel I have to join the Greens, because at least they've said they're going to fight this tooth and nail.
Well, yes, so somebody is, but they're about the only ones, Philip, and they seem to be fighting it sort of purely on the nuclear front and saying that, you know, the submarines will all be Chernobyls in the backyard. I have to discover a new fact today, which I didn't know before, Philip, which is that apparently American nuclear submarines carry weapons or use weapons grade, like bomb grade enriched uranium, which seems a little bit excessive apparently compared to newer technology. But so it is a little bit alarming.
Now, the last time we spoke, there was a little bit of a cloud, a dark cloud, hovering over Christian Porter. I must publicly confess that I am a contributor to his blind trust because, it seemed like the Christian thing to do. But I understand that he's sort of resigned.
He sort of resigned as a minister, and that was over the weekend. Now, this is because people such as yourself, though you've obviously chosen not to be anonymous, have put all his money in this trust. Now, last week he declared that there was this blind trust which had been set up to give him some support for the cost of his legal fees. But because it was a blind trust, he wasn't allowed to know anything about how it ran. Now, I was rather inundated with emails from QCs and others saying that this was actually a bit of a nonsense position, but be that as it may, this is what he was saying. The Prime Minister didn't really want to talk about that when he had this excellent announcement to make about the brilliant masterstroke strategy with the Americans on submarines. So he said what he often does, which is that he was going to get the head of his department to give him some advice on this. Now, before the said department head came back with the advice, he told us yesterday that Christian Porter had chosen to resign. Now, the story is that the reason he's chosen to resign is that he can't say who's given this money to him, and that may create the impression of, you know, lack of disclosure, and you know, that he can't satisfy the ministerial standards. There's nothing dodgy about this money. Now, the only problem about this is that he's still caught by the declaration, the obligations to declare gifts and pecuniary interests that apply to all MPs and senators, and so it's not exactly clear how it really resolves this problem at all. Now, it's basically not possible anymore to throw an MP out of Parliament. And it's essentially a question of whether the Parliament would vote to do that. They can censure him and put him before the Privileges Committee and all sorts of things, but there's not a lot else they can do as far as anybody can work out. But, you know, it basically doesn't resolve the issue for Christian Porter. He either has to say who these people are, or he's sort of basically in breach of the requirement to say, you know, where all this money's come from,
Laura,
up to $1 million.
Laura, let's be fair about Christian. He has
always
made the point he doesn't want his donors to become targets of the social media mob. And my confession to you tonight, which I give you in confidence, is going to put me, you know, going to make me a target. I've done quick ring around. I've spoken to Gina and to Kerry Stokes and to Twiggy Forrest. They all deny apparently making contributions.
Well, everybody seems to be denying making contributions. It is a mystery. I mean, the suggestion now seems to be from Mr. Porter's statement yesterday that the implication is that it's a lot of, you know, small mum and dad investors who are just outraged by the ABC in general, and who wanted to provide some sort of support to him. But, you know, we don't know. He says that he's changed what he said about the trust a bit in the last week. He's now saying that that it's not that he has no right to know what's in there or anything like that, but that he can't, that the trustee can't sort of break the anonymity obligations that the trustee is under. Now, whatever is the case, we don't know how much money is involved. We don't know who it's come from. And Mr. Porter is saying that the trustee has assured him that none of it comes from foreign donors or lobby groups.
You see, the problem here is if you follow this line of argument, you'll hear this bleating about the need for a federal ICAC.
Well, exactly. And, of course, you know, ironically, as Attorney General, it was Christian Porter who was pursuing the case for a federal ICAC, but one which I think we've discussed previously was not regarded as an entirely satisfactory model, because the one group of people who weren't going to be subject to public scrutiny in sort of open hearings or anything was politicians. So, you know, what can one say?
Okay, now I have good news for Mr. Porter, and that is that my local member, Barnaby Joyce, who was Deputy Prime Minister, I believe, has said that Mr. Porter deserves to make a, you know, a glorious comeback in politics. But this raises another issue. I knew that Mr. Porter had resigned, but I hadn't realised that the Prime Minister has resigned, thus allowing Barnaby to run the country. Now, I know that's a good pair of hands, but what happens to the Prime Minister?
The Prime Minister's off in Washington talking to Joe Biden and various other people, and he's left the country in Barnaby Joyce's very safe hands. And as you say...
Oh, that's a huge relief to me, you know.
Yes, and as you say, Barnaby Joyce was out there defending Christian Porter today, just saying that he'd had a bit of a bad innings on the paddock, or some sort of sporting analogy, Philip, which you'd understand better than me. But it was a rather gobsmacking statement in the circumstances where a minister had resigned from the cabinet less than 24 hours earlier because he wasn't able to meet, by the Prime Minister's own words, the appropriate ministerial standards.
A term one doesn't hear that often these days.
No, it is a bit of a rare term. And there was some sort of rather confusing statement from the Prime Minister about how ministerial standards was the reason he was resigning or wasn't. Anyway, whatever. The quotes are rather extraordinary. But anyway, Barnaby Joyce says he's a very talented person who, the voters of whose voters will bring him back into Parliament at the next election, and his talent will mean that he'll be back in Cabinet in no time.
Well, that could be a bit wildly optimistic, given that political prospects in WA aren't looking too good for the Feds.
You get conflicting reports about that. I think, you know, certainly we've moved from a position where there was just seemed to only be a few seats in play on the East Coast, and the rest of the country was pretty much, you know, not going anywhere. I think that there is a lot in play. I'm not sure about Pearce. I've heard lots of contradictory reports, some of which suggest that despite everything, or possibly because the particular nature of the electorate over there, people feel sorry for Christian Porter, he may still be in reasonably good shape. So hard to tell.
I've missed our tangos, La Tingle, so it's good to be back together. And I look forward to us having a very amusing time for the rest of the year. I've been talking, of course, to the Laura Tingle, Chief Political Correspondent, 7:30